You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella.
On 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, welcome to the Tuesday edition of the show. It's good to have you with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. Wishing you a wonderful Tuesday. What do you want to talk about this morning? The 702 open line starts now. The number to dial is 011-883-0702. If you want to send a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
011-883-0702. If you want to send a WhatsApp voice note, send it on 072-702-1702. Now, while I wait for your calls, while they're being processed on, several things have been on my mind. First of all, I want to ask you this morning how you are managing with the cost of living. We are experiencing the worst power cuts in more than 2 years now. There's weakening consumer confidence and demand. There are tariff increases in Joburg and Tshwane. It's just difficult. And if you are lucky enough to even have a job, it really is difficult to survive. Imagine people that don't even have a job. And I was listening to my colleague, Mateo Haripe, on doing his business news on 702 Breakfast this morning, talking about those that are lucky enough to earn a living in South Africa and how they've come under serious financial pressure. And he was referencing the latest Household Affordability Index from the Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group, which shows that the price of basic household food, that food basket, is up by 13.6% year on year in June. This is a basket that now costs about 4,688. So it's up 560 rand compared to a year before, right? And we're talking about the basic items, your spinach, your cooking oil. They've gone up almost 70%. Even a 5-liter bottle. A 5-liter bottle of cooking oil over the past year. If you look at green peppers, brown bread, milk, eggs, it's incredible. It really is. The amount with which prices have gone up. And consumers, they've also been stretched by spending around mitigating Eskom's extended load shedding period. Never mind the issue around high electricity prices, but they're spending extra on gas cylinders, alternative energy sources. So it really, really is difficult. If you're lucky to have a job, how are you even surviving managing all of this? I'd like to take your calls on that on 011-883-0702. Have you thought about alternative ways? Maybe even going to work. Maybe you've decided, let's start a Lyft club with my colleagues to get to work. Because now we are looking at the price of petrol that's going up tomorrow. Petrol and diesel prices have gone up by more than 50% this year. So things are really, really bad. So what changes have you made in your life? I'd like to hear from you. What tips do you have for some of our listeners? It's 17 minutes after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Daba, you're calling from Joburg. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to talk about this fuel, like, as an Uber driver.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like as an Uber driver, we're in a dead end, you see. Because we need fuel to work. But compared to the fares that we're working under, like, we're doing a charity now with this fuel, like, increasing tomorrow, you see.
Mm.
And if I can tell you that a day you can spend 600 rand on fuel. And then out of 600 rand, you made 800 rand, which means your profit is 300 rand every day.
Mm.
So who is benefiting out of this? It's like it's Uber. benefiting more than us, you see.
Mm.
So fuel going up again tomorrow is like, we don't know what to do. We have to park our cars and do nothing. That's it.
Yes. And that's not even an option because you need to make a living. But what's the point of when you're trying to do the job, but not so much is coming out? In fact, for most people, they're operating at a loss.
That's a big problem, Clement, to be honest.
Oh, Daba.
We're breaking even. There's no way you do a business whereby you put 10 rand to make 12 rand. There's no way you can make a business like that.
Mm.
And last month, petrol was increased, and Uber dropped the prices again.
Mm. So how are you guys managing that then, Daba? Because you've got to think of other ways to make it work. Have you thought of ways to make it work, and what are they?
I beg your pardon?
I'm saying, what's the solution then? What ways have you tried to make it work? Are you taking less trips to avoid driving for too long? How are you managing it?
It's like you mustn't take a trip that is more than 20 kilometers.
Mm.
And you mustn't take a trip that is less than 50 rand.
Mm.
Yes, sir. So you have to limit your trips now.
Sure. Yeah, that's a tough decision that Uber drivers have to make. Guys, it's going to, a 45-liter tank is expected to cost more than 1,000 rand to fill up on both 93 and 95 unleaded petrol. That's ridiculous. And the thing here is taxi associations, which transport millions of South Africans to work daily, are also saying that it's difficult to protect their customers from fare hikes. So at some point, that's where it's going to go. You've got farmers and logistics firms that are also bearing the extra costs of moving their produce and products around the country. At some point, they're going to think about how they can cut costs in the company. And there are some employees that are going to be affected as well. So how are you managing? Are you driving more to work? Have you decided to do a Lyft club? Have you decided maybe on looking for what's on sale when you're doing groceries, just so you can see where you can save? Sean, you're calling from Sandton. Good morning.
Kevin, thanks for taking my call, brother. So just a couple of things that we've changed in our household. Obviously, cooking on gas, having a small gas bottle with a Scottle, we do most of our cooking. My electricity came down, I don't know, probably about 300-400 grand just in 1 month.
Mm.
So that saves a lot. I don't have a car. I have pretty much two motorcycles, which I drive to work and back, which kind of glides back into my next topic, which is my wife, probably about 7 years ago, stopped working. We kind of sat down. We worked out how much was she earning compared to how much I was earning.
Mm.
We decided that I'd become the sole provider, which I believe, in my opinion, every husband should be. My wife stayed at home. She handled the house, which saved me a massive amount of money. I didn't have to worry about that. Then on top of that, she started doing homeschooling for me. So we have one little girl. She's 9 this year. And the course that we're doing, the homeschooling course that we're doing, is around 10,000 rand a year. Whereas if you look at most schooling, you're looking 50 up to 100,000 rand for the year. So massive, massive savings on homeschooling. The best thing you could do for your kid. And I find my wife has a lot more peace and harmony when I get home from work as well, because she doesn't have to face that grit and grime of the modern world that we live in.
Mm.
Thanks, Clement.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for sharing those with us, Sean. So Sean and his wife have decided to move to homeschooling. They're not eating out often. That's certainly something I'm not doing. You know, there are always plans with friends every single weekend. In fact, I would at least have 2 lunch meetings every week. I'm trying to cut down on those, right? Because you're trying to find ways to save where you can. So on weekends, just take time to read your book and take it easy at home as opposed to be out there, because being out there costs money. You live in your home, you're driving to the restaurant, that's costing money. Hmm? You pay at the restaurant, that's costing money. So those are some of the ways that I've decided to cut down on. Koketso, you are in Magaliesberg. Good morning.
Yes, morning, Clement.
Hi.
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm good, how's it?
I'm fine, thank you.
Sure.
Yes, Clement, I just wanted to just comment around the issue of farm gate prices versus the retail prices. I think the Competition Commission should actually investigate that, you know, because on our end as farmers, it's not like prices, you know, we're getting more in terms of our produce from the market or from elements like that. We're not getting more for our produce. Our prices actually are still the same of what we're selling our fish produce for, what we're selling. Even, for instance, like meat prices and so on, it's still the same. It hasn't actually gone up. So, you know, the Competition Commission actually should really have a look at what retailers are doing in terms of the retail price and what actually makes that up. Because I think basically what they need to look at doing is almost putting a similar to what used to happen in under the, you know, the apartheid era, where there were various boards regulating various foodstuffs. So what would happen, they would actually put a certain price limit on this thing. So, for instance, if a farm gate price is like 5 rands, you shouldn't be allowed to, you know, to put a price 100% more on top of that price, if you understand what I'm trying to say. You should be capped. They should cap the price at like maybe capping it at 25% or 50%, so that, you know, it doesn't go crazy. Because right now what actually happens is that you don't have a cap on the prices. So retailers also take advantage of things like the increase in petrol price and the fuel price to increase these things. Some of the increases are legitimate, yes, because of, you know, increasing transportation costs.
Yes.
But some of the things actually are not. You know, it's just inflated. So I think if they had to sort of compare and do a comparison between what is the farm gate price versus what is the retail price, a lot of consumers would actually be shocked.
So maybe,
you know, in terms of how much they're paying at the retailer.
Yeah, so maybe look at the entire value chain and look how these retailers are justifying these price increases. Because sometimes the price of transportation has not even gone up, but they're using the justification of, well, the price of petrol is up.
And they're also using their monopoly. So, for instance, it's difficult to prove things like collusion, because sometimes it's very tacit in nature. Like, they won't obviously come out to say, we are colluding on this price. But even things like, you know, looking at, that's why I think the Competition Commission has to be guided by farm gate prices to say, what are farm gate prices? Can we have a reason why all these retailers are pricing this thing at set amount? What comprises this price?
Yeah.
I think if we had to do that, it would be better for consumers, because right now we're actually getting ripped off at the retailers.
Yeah, no, Koketso, I hear you. Thank you for calling, Koketso, calling us from Magaliesberg. She is a farmer herself. I mean, she says there's got to be an investigation. And if you are a farmer as well, let me know, because we're talking about the prices of food products going up. And Koketso says, well, our prices have not changed. So when it gets to the retailer's part, there must be reasons why then they're increasing prices for these food products. So if you are in retail, if you're a farmer yourself, I'd like to hear what your experience is. Let's play some of the voice notes that are coming through on 072-702-1702.
Hey, Tlemza, I hope all is well, my brother. Hey, the issue of Kelly Khumalo, man, it doesn't sit very well with me. I'm not sure if you have heard that clip where she says Senzo Meiwa, nobody knew about Senzo Meiwa before he met with her. Meaning that she's the one who put Senzo Meiwa on the spotlight. Senzo Meiwa was nothing before he meets her. I don't know about that clip. I don't know if I'm getting this right or not, but that doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I watched the interview. If you missed the interview, you can check it out. Slee, who's a reporter with ENCA, did that interview with Kelly Khumalo. It must be, it's on their YouTube channel on ENCA. So check it out. And Kelly Khumalo told Slee. So Slee was asking, obviously, about how life has been, you know, things that have been said about Kelly Khumalo. And I mean, I also cringed when she said that towards the end of the interview, because Slee asked, people have accused you of benefiting from this person before and after he died. And Kelly Khumalo said, how can that be? I was Kelly before I met this man. And then she said this.
I did not know who Senzo Meiwa was until a friend of mine, Lucio Mtiani, explained to me who he was. Nobody knew who Senzo Meyiwa was until he was attached to the brand Kelly Khumalo. So, really, like really, really, I have nothing to gain. I've had nothing to gain with either his wins or his losses. Nothing to gain. All I had was love for him, nothing else.
Yeah, I cringed because it's Senzo Meyiwa. Like, how can you say nobody knew who he is before they were attached to your brand? Huh? I mean, a whole national captain for Bafana Bafana. I mean, how many times did he play? People knew who Senzo Meyiwa was. When he died, did you see how packed the stadium was in KwaZulu-Natal? I mean, fans are still devastated to this day because there's just no closure. And she wants to claim that nobody knew him before he was attached to the Kelly Khumalo brand. I don't know. I don't even know if interviews like that are advisable, given that she may have to take the stand at some point. But hey, that's the thing about us as members of the public, right? We're saying she must talk, she must speak. And then when she speaks, then we're like, how dare she? How dare she say that? Oh, I hate her more, or I love her more. It becomes a whole thing. But she's going to have to take a stand at some point, especially now that we're talking about this docket number. Is it 365? That implicates her and the other people that were in the house. So yeah, what do you make of what Kelly Khumalo said about Senzo Meyiwa? Was it her misspeaking? Huh? Maybe she wasn't hearing herself. If she wanted to be too generous, or do you think she was just being self-conceited? Is that what they say in English? It's just after 9:30.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 7:02.
25 minutes before 10 o'clock, a listener says, Clement, in Kelly's defense, I think people who weren't interested in Bafana like me didn't know Senzo Meyiwa. I thought the old Pirates keeper was our national captain at the time. But I don't know. Also, then don't make the general statement, right? Because the problem with that also is, oh yeah, people didn't know. Also, you don't know. You've not spoken to all the people. And it's a point I normally make a lot here on the open line where someone will say, yeah, you the media don't. You don't know that. Did you check News 24? Did you check all the publications and listen to all the radio station to confirm that they've never spoken about a specific issue? No, you've never. So we need to be careful of making these general statements because that's factually incorrect. Unless you're able to say, here is some research that I've done and I've spoken to 200,000 people from these sections and 99% of them said they didn't know who he is. So I have a problem with the statement and how general it is. And it says something just about how you feel about yourself. I use the word self-conceited. You've got that exaggerated sense of importance to a point where you think you are the one that was so known that anybody who was attached to you, then people knew who they are. Even when that is not necessarily the fact, especially when it comes to Senzo Meyiwa. Katleho, you're calling us from Randburg. We want to talk about the fuel hikes. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Clement. How are you?
Kimnat, how are you doing?
I'm good. You're speaking to Katleho Mudizo from Randburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I want to address this thing as well. I'm a ball driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, sometimes when I put 200 on my car, it doesn't even do that, the 200 that I just put on my car, you understand? So
yeah.
The petrol is very, very extremely expensive for us. So sometimes I think that maybe I must just take this car back, but only to find out I'll be blacklisted if I take it back, you understand?
And you still have to maintain the car, I mean...
You still have to buy tires, and the tires are finished, the disc is expiring, you have to still do the double disc.
Gotcha. Is Bolt considering hiking the prices, Katleho?
Mr. Clement, the only problem that I have, ne, I just written to Bolt so many times emails, ne, that, you know, our local is 21, it's 29 rands, right? And why you are taking, on the top of the 29 rands, you are taking 9 rands, 9 rand 95 cents, which doesn't even buy a liter of a petrol.
Mm.
So we are losing. So always when we are writing to them, they will say sorry for the inconvenience. Mm. Every time it's just a copy and paste message.
Yeah, Ish, Katlo, I hear you. I hear you, man. And I remember you guys have tried to even, you know, protest, you know, to raise exactly that issue, and clearly it's not being resolved. Dr. Nsolo, you calling from Benoni. Good morning. Hello, Dr. Nsolo.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, man.
Mm.
I wanted to comment on the issue of food security and production.
Yeah.
And I agree with the lady who spoke earlier on. I am a farmer, mixed farmer, doing crops and animals. Clearly, the cost, the input cost has gone so high that it's no longer economical to farm in South Africa.
Mm.
I had to even cull most of my pigs because the input cost is greater than what we receive from the market. The price hasn't changed from the abattoir in the last 2 years. A kilogram of bacon is still sitting at between 25 and 27 rand. And your feeding cost is sitting at about 35 rand per kilo.
Mm.
That says to me, with the additional cost of diesel, the rising cost of feed, it means farming is not sustainable. We need the Competition Commission to investigate this matter and see exactly what happens in the value chain. Otherwise, the country is facing a crisis. The same thing happens with crops. The price of potatoes is sitting at around 40 rand in the market, and the retail price is sitting at about 80 to 100. And therefore, farmers are subsidizing the retail industry to flourish at their own expense.
Mm. Who sets your prices? Dr. Nsolo, who sets your prices as farmers to these retailers?
Theoretically, the market sets the prices.
Yeah.
Which means if you take your pigs to the abattoir, they give you a price. We are price takers. We don't create the price. Irrespective of what your input costs are, if the abattoir is paying 27 rand, that's the price you get. If you take your potatoes or your cabbage to the market, you are a price taker. When if you don't sell, then you have added cost of storage or your produce will be damaged and no longer profitable. Those are the challenges that we are facing.
Mm.
It's even worse for black farmers who came in at the late end of the agricultural industry. The support we are getting from government is minimal and sometimes questionable. Throughout COVID, the most we received was 50,000 rand per farmer, depending on who you are. But the actual losses suffered run into millions for black farmers.
Sure, Dr.
That's a concern.
Yeah, I mean, that is a serious concern. And I mean, we're talking about food security here. So you'd imagine that government wants to ensure that it gives as much support as possible to these farmers. You know what we'll do? I think we should dedicate an hour at some point to have a conversation about farming and look at the challenges that farmers are facing. Is it still economically viable? Right? Is it still economical to be a farmer? And what are the input costs? Right? When your input costs are greater, what other options do you have as a farmer? And are they, as Dr. Nsolo says, farmers subsidizing retailers? And we can look at that and look at the value chain as well. Look at what point then are the prices increased and the retailers are able to sell it. And of course, considering the transportation costs, etc. So we'll dedicate some time to talk about just farming in general and the challenges that are being faced and what the options are. And maybe even bring in Togo Didiza, the Minister of Agriculture, to talk about the kind of support that farmers are getting and whether or not that is sufficient. All right, let's take some voice notes now and we'll go back to some of your calls.
Morning, Clarence. I'm thinking of changing my fuel from 95 to 93 because it's slightly cheaper and I guess in the long run it's going to help me. I just want to know if there are any car experts out there in 702 land who can advise me on whether it's a good move or not. Thank you.
All right, so you want to change from 93 to 95. Anybody who knows, is that a good move?
Hey, Clement, regarding the current cost of living, petrol in particular, with what's happening tomorrow, wouldn't it be nice to have a reliable public transport system that everybody could use that was fairly run and not controlled by the taxi bosses? That would be lovely.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I would take that public transport from home to get to work. But the problem is that option is not available for some of us. And yes, I know that there are a lot of people that don't have a choice, right? They don't have a choice but to use this public transport system that is not functioning well. And when you look at the elite, at least they've got a Gautrain, but even that is limited within the specific areas. But if we had a functioning public transport system, that's where we would be at least offsetting some of the cost. Instead of driving to work where it costs you this amount of money, you're able to pay to get onto that taxi, to get onto that train. But we don't have that well-functioning public transport system, well-functioning and safe public transport system in this country. So that's another challenge.
Hi, Clement. I'm also an Uber driver. It's Connie here from Sandton. I am really struggling with petrol prices. I'm a single mother of three children. I'm struggling to pay back my car, let alone buy groceries for the children. It is really, really hard to just make profit per day.
Yeah.
Clement, we can't run away from this fuel increase. Producers, they must just increase their prices and increase their workers' salaries so then everything can balance. Now, the problem is everything is going up, but salaries, they're not going up. That's why people are getting under pressure.
Yako, you're calling us from Sandton. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to answer that question on the 95 versus 93 petrol.
Oh, yes.
Clement, if it's a high-performance car that has a turbo, then he must please stick with a 95. If it's not a high-performance car, then he can actually use the 93.
Oh, so if it's high-performance with a turbo, then stick with 95.
Absolutely. So the higher octane, which is what the 93 or the 95 is, is determined by the performance of the car. So if it's a very high-performance car or if it has a turbo, then stick with a higher octane 95. If it doesn't have a turbo, then you can happily use 93.
Ah, wonderful. Yako, thanks for calling and responding to that listener who was asking. He was considering moving from 95 to 93. Tabogo, you're in Randfontein. Good morning. Oh, what happened to Tabogo? Tabogo just cut off the line. Let's see if we can have Tabogo back. In the meantime, your voice notes.
Good morning, Clement. Wow, I just want to get attached to that brand. The Kelly Kumalo brand. That brand is so powerful. Imagine, nobody knew Senzo. Wow, a whole national team captain. Wow, we didn't know him. I just want to get attached to that brand. Can you guys hook me up? I had in the morning, Bongani was interviewing her. Can I just get attached to the brand, Mangalisa?
No, not until I get attached to you, Mangalisa. Let me get attached to you so I can be so important as well. And then I'll pass over to you. How's that? Yeah? Yeah, but on a serious note, how do you make a statement like that? That's why I'm saying, if you want to be generous, you can argue that she misspoke. She didn't really mean that. She wasn't hearing herself. But then again, she didn't even go anywhere unless I've missed it. If you've checked her social media platforms, has she perhaps tried to clarify that? She seems to be sticking to it, which for me is even a bigger problem.
Morning, Clement. Andile here. Hey, with this Kelly Kumalo thing, I don't know. You know, I just get chills when I see her talking or commenting on what may or may not have happened. You know, it's like she's got no emotions. Like, for somebody who lost the father of her children in that manner, I don't know. She's never showed anything to say that she feels or does not feel. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yes, Clement, Kelly Khumalo, she's the one who is enjoying wealth from the brand Senzo Meiwa. She must say it, and we all know that. Clement Sufi from Tembisa.
I don't know, though. I mean, to be fair, Kelly Khumalo was quite popular by the time that they met. I mean, why is this even a popularity contest? My goodness, can't believe that's where we are. But I'm just saying that, I mean, if you're saying that she's benefiting off the popularity of Senzo Meiwa, how did she benefit? I don't know. How did she benefit as a result of having dated Senzo Meiwa? If anything, she would argue, and that's what she argued in that interview yesterday, that she has been ostracized, she has been attacked, her family has been affected, even her lawyer's family has been affected because of all the assumptions that people are making around what happened to Senzo Meiwa. But Kelly as a brand, I mean, she's a legitimate artist. She sings. She is quite a successful artist. And I don't know if you can claim that solely because she's benefiting from her attachment to Senzo Meiwa. I'm not sure I agree with that. Maybe you disagree. Send me a WhatsApp voice note or give me a call.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's take some more calls and then we'll take your voice notes as well. Tabang, you're calling from Pretoria. Hi.
Hi, Clement. Am I here?
Yes, you are.
Sorry, Clement, the dynamic around 93 and 95, the octane levels.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, higher octane needs to be complemented by thick air, right?
Uh-huh.
More air intake, because this fuel burns with the air. So at the coast, the air is always thick. It's very advisable to stick to 95.
Mm.
Mountain altitudes, our air anyway is always thinner, except in winter. So recommendation, I know it's complicated.
Mm.
Coast, you want to stick with 95. You're almost compelled to. Gauteng, the air is thick when it's cold in winter. You might want to use 95 in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And in summer, yes, the air is thinner anyway. It wouldn't burn 95 efficiently. Then you can use 93 peacefully, irrespective of the performance grading of the car.
But is there no damage, Tabang, if you're switching between 95 and 93? And how constant can that be?
No, there shouldn't be. Remember, if you are using 95 with thin air anyway, you are not using its full potential.
Mm.
So most of the time in Gauteng, we can get away with 93. We our air conditions are not always consistently conducive to use that 95 efficiently.
I see. Tabang, thank you so much for that. I hope that listener is being helped. A number of considerations to make. He wanted to know, as part of saving some money, if we can move from 95 to 93. So thank you, Tabang, and I think Yako earlier, who called in with some advice for that listener.
Good morning, Clement, and you know, the listeners. Well, this is how we try to save money here at home, because I'm the one that actually loves cooking. So what I have actually done is I've spent a lot of time actually watching cooking shows, and I try some of the stuff that, you know, it can be easily done. And when I cook, I make sure that at least I cook enough food to last us for 2 to 3 days. And the nice thing is that, you know, it's only the three of us, me, my brother, and, you know, my mom. So we really don't cook, you know, that a lot. And, you know, if I decided to do fast food, usually I'll do, which I don't want to mention, but it's a chicken, then I'll cook pap and, you know, with gravy. So yeah, that's how we try to save money.
Yeah, those are some of the ways. Maggie in Ellens Park says, morning, Clem. I must say, it's really difficult to even run a business, as we need electricity and fuel, and it's getting high every day. There's no more profit, and at the same time, one has to hustle to make a living. It's tough. I'm wondering, where will this situation leave us at the end? Yeah, indeed. Linda on Twitter says, Clement, it seems like the entire business world agrees that the cost of living has skyrocketed. Are they willing to increase wages, or how do they expect workers to survive? That's the question, right? Another person says, hello, Clement. On the issue of petrol, I'm thinking of running from home to work. It's about 15 kilometers in total. But again, leaving home around 6 in the morning, it's still dark. And as a woman in South Africa, that is not safe. Come summer, I'm on it. That's what another listener says. More voice notes.
I'm not a big soccer fan, but I knew exactly who Senzo Mehiwa was. Like, really now. Come on, Kelly. Askar no body. Ariana. Batung. Askar Kenya fo. Yo, KK, sorry.
KK. You know when someone is laughing and you are more laughing at how they are laughing? That makes it funny. Actually, it reminds me of some video of these wonderful Betty ladies who are ordering food at this store. And they're like, Skarvurvaya. I'm going to post it on Twitter. Check it out. It's funny. It's really funny. This voice note reminded me of that.
Clement, that clip, Yakeli Khumalo, is absolutely disgusting. And she's peddling so many lies. What is that? Why is she so self-centered, though? Everyone knew who Senzo Mehiwa was and is. I mean, the guy was the Pirates goalkeeper. The man was like, he was known. I mean, like, he was known by the whole football fraternity. And he was known by everyone else. Because he was playing for Bafana. What the actual hell?
Hey, Anne. Kelly's frustrating a lot of people. Eh? Okay, so D in Waterville says, Clement, some people took it as if I'm stingy when I was going DIY with fast foods for my kids and I on Fridays and Saturdays. And I wonder if they see the bigger picture now that the aim was to save money. My kids and I only eat out once a month on payday only. Even now, you know, just a thank you for hard daily push we face in the house every morning. That's D in Waterville. Yeah, D, I am reducing the amount of times I'm going out to get food.
Morning, Clement. Receiver here in Midrand. Regarding the fuel issue, the big question is, what are we doing as South Africans? We're just sitting and relaxing as if everything is okay. Libya at the moment is facing the same situation. But the people there are not just sitting and watching. They are protesting. Why can't we do the same? You can't just complain and say fuel is expensive, food are expensive, poor living conditions, while we are just sitting and doing nothing. You see, this government is taking advantage of us because it has realized that it can do as it wishes because there's nothing we can do about it. We must protest. People must protest this and say no. Lesiba here in Midrand. Cheers.
Yeah, but at what point, Lesiba, are we going to say no? At what point are we going to say no? Trey, in Johannesburg, good morning.
Yeah, hi. So, for me also, Clement, hi, everyone, all the listeners as well. I was just going to make a point that the previous caller also just made now. Like,
yeah.
At what point do we also just take responsibility as South Africans and say, you know what, enough is enough?
Mm.
I mean, what possibly happens if we all decide not to drive cars on a specific day or decide not to buy bread? Let's make sure all the people that are manufacturing bread, and it's a simple thing, on a certain day we do not buy bread, let all the bread go off so that we can all feel the pinch. Because at the moment it just feels like it's one-sided. You know, we keep getting all the hikes, politicians are corrupt as hell, and it just goes without any consequence.
And then we get outraged, and then it dies down. And then the next time there's another fuel hike, we get outraged. then it dies down. It's frustrating, Trey, and you make a good point. At what point are we going to all mobilize, right? Far apart from just raising our opinions and anger and frustrations on air or writing letters to, at what point do we have this collective effort where we say, that's it, and we need to put pressure on the relevant stakeholders to do something? Sri Lanka, you must go check out the protests there. I remember in India, even on the issue of gender-based violence, I mean, for a country like ours that experienced the worst of this kind of violence, we should have gone to the streets a long time ago and shut down. And I'm not just talking about just activists here or interested groups. I'm saying all of us. There was a time in India when there was a rape that happened and people mobilized. The country was on a standstill. And I don't remember when was the last time we had that moment in this country.